I've made a simple statement of truth. Like all statements of truth, it has the quality of waking you up. Some people don't like to be awakened. Most do not. Most would rather sleep. The world is in the condition that it's in because the world is full of sleepwalkers. With regard to my statement, what about it seems untrue? You have no will to live. At least you have had none until now. If you tell me you've had an instant conversion, I will reassess my prediction of what you will now do. I acknowledge that my prediction is based on past experience. It was also meant to wake you up. Sometimes, when a person is really deeply asleep, you have to shake him a little. I've seen in the past that you have had little will to live. Now, you may deny that, but in this case, your actions speak louder than your words. If you ever lit a cigarette in your life, much less smoked a pack a day for 20 years as you have very little will to live. You don't care what you do to your body.
But I stopped smoking 10 years ago.
Only after 20 years of grueling physical punishment. And if you've ever taken alcohol into your body, you have very little will to live.
I drink very moderately.
The body was not meant to intake alcohol. It impairs the mind.
But Jesus took alcohol. He went to the wedding and turned water into wine.
So who said Jesus was perfect?
Oh, for God's sake.
Say, are you becoming annoyed with me?
Well, far be it from me to become annoyed with God. I mean, that would be a bit presumptuous, wouldn't it? But I do think we can carry this a bit too far. My father taught me all things in moderation. I think I've stuck to that where alcohol is concerned.
The body can more easily recover from only moderate abuse. The saying is therefore useful. Nevertheless, I'll stick to my original statement. The body was not meant to intake alcohol.
But even some medicines contain alcohol.
I have no control over what you call medicine. I'll stay with my statement.
You really are rigid, aren't you?
Look, truth is truth. Now, if someone said, a little alcohol won't hurt you, and placed that statement in the context of life as you now live it, I would have to agree with them. That does not change the truth of what I've said. It simply allows you to ignore it. Then consider this. Currently, you humans wear your bodies out typically within 50 to 80 years. Some last longer, but not many. Some stop functioning sooner, but not the majority. Can we agree on that?
Yes, okay.
All right, so we have a good starting point for discussion. Now, when I said I could agree with the statement, a little alcohol won't hurt you, I qualified that by adding, in the context of life as you now live it. You see, you people seem satisfied with life as you now live it. But life, it may surprise you to learn, was meant to be lived a whole different way. And your body was designed to last a great deal longer.
It was?
Yes.
How much longer?
Infinitely longer.
What does that mean?
It means, my son, your body was designed to last forever.
Forever?
Yes, forevermore.
You mean that we are never supposed to die?
You never do die. Life is eternal. You are immortal. You never do die. You simply change form. You didn't even have to do that. You decided to do that. I didn't. I made you bodies that would last forever. Do you really think the best God could do, the best I could come up with, was a body that could make it 60, 70, maybe 80 years before falling apart? Is that, do you imagine, the limit of my ability?
I never thought of putting it that way exactly.
I designed your magnificent body to last forever. And the earliest of you did live in the body, virtually pain-free and without fear of what you now call death. In your religious mythology, you symbolize your cellular memory of these first version humans by calling them Adam and Eve. Actually, of course, there were more than two. At the outset, the idea was for you wonderful souls to have a chance to know yourselves as who you really are through experiences gained in the physical body, in the relative world, as I have explained repeatedly here. This was done through the slowing down of the unfathomable speed of all vibration, thought form, to produce matter, including that matter you call the physical body. Life evolved through a series of steps in the blink of an eye that you now call billions of years. And in this holy instant came you, out of the sea, the water of life, onto the land, and into the form you now hold.
Then the evolutionists are right.
I find it amusing, a source of continual amusement, actually, that you humans have such a need to break everything down into right and wrong. It never occurs to you that you've made those labels up to help you define the material and yourself. It never occurs to you, except to the finest minds among you, that a thing could be both right and wrong, that only in the relative world are things one or the other. In the world of the absolute, of time, no time, all things are everything. There is no male and female. There's no before and after. There is no fast and slow, here and there, up and down, left and right, and no right and wrong. Your astronauts and cosmonauts have gained a sense of this. They imagined themselves to be rocketing upward to get to outer space, only to find when they got there that they were looking up at the Earth. Or were they? Maybe they were looking down at the Earth. But then, where was the sun? Up, down, no? Over there, to the left. So now suddenly a thing was neither up nor down, it was sideways, and all definitions thus disappeared. So it is in my world, our real realm. All definitions disappear, rendering it difficult to even talk about this realm in definitive terms. Religion is your attempt to speak of the unspeakable. It does not do a very good job. No, my son, the evolutionists are not right. I created all of this, in the blink of an eye. In one holy instant, just as the creationists have said. And it came about through a process of evolution, taking billions and billions of what you call years. Just as the evolutionists claim. They are both right. As the cosmonauts discovered, it all depends on how you look at it. But the real question is, one holy instant, billions of years, what's the difference? Can you simply agree that on some of the questions of life, the mystery is too great for even you to solve? Why not hold the mystery as sacred? And why not allow the sacred to be sacred and leave it alone?
I suppose we all have an insatiable need to know.
But you already know. I've just told you. Yet you don't want to know the truth. You want to know the truth as you understand it. This is the greatest barrier to your enlightenment. You think you already know the truth. You think you already understand how it is. So you agree with everything you see or hear or read that falls into the paradigm of your understanding and reject everything which does not. And this you call learning. This you call being open to the teachings. Alas, you can never be open to the teachings so long as you are closed to everything save your own truth. Thus will this very dialogue be called blasphemy, the work of the devil by some. Yet those who have ears to hear, let them listen. I tell you this, you were not meant to ever die. Your physical form was created as a magnificent convenience, a wonderful tool, a glorious vehicle, allowing you to experience the reality you have created with your mind, that you may know the self you have created in your soul. The soul conceives, the mind creates, the body experiences. The circle is complete. The soul then knows itself in its own experience. If it does not like what it is experiencing, feeling, or wishes a different experience for any reason, it simply conceives of a new experience of self and quite literally changes its mind. Soon the body finds itself in a new experience. I am the resurrection and the life was a magnificent example of this. How do you think Jesus did it anyway? Or do you not believe it ever happened? Believe it. It happened. Yet this much is so. The soul will never override the body or the mind. I made you as a three-in-one being. You are three beings in one, made in the image and likeness of me. The three aspects of self are in no wise unequal to each other. Each has a function. But no function is greater than another. Nor does any function actually precede another. All are interrelated in an exactly equal way. Conceive, create, experience. What you conceive, you create. What you create, you experience. What you experience, you conceive. That is why it is said if you can cause your body to experience something, take abundance for example, you will soon have the feeling of it in your soul, which will conceive of itself in a new way, namely, abundant, thus presenting your mind with a new thought about that. From the new thought springs more experience, and the body begins living a new reality as a permanent state of being. Your body, your mind, and your soul, spirit, are one. In this, you are a microcosm of me, the divine all, the holy everything, the sum and substance. You see now how I am the beginning and the end of everything, the Alpha and the Omega. Now, I will explain to you the ultimate mystery, your exact and true relationship to me. You are my body. As your body is to your mind and soul, so too are you to my mind and soul. Therefore, everything I experience through you. Just as your body, mind, and spirit are one, so too are mine. So it is that Jesus of Nazareth, among the many who understood this mystery, spoke immutable truth when he said, I and the Father are one. Now I will tell you, there are even larger truths than this to which you will one day become privy. For even as you are the body of me, I am the body of another.